evening, America, and good afternoon, Australia. You're back on Radio Tony Everyday Business with your host, Tony Lontis, and I've got a delightful guest for you today. I just want to say quickly, thank you so much for your support, your last year listeners. You've made me one very happy host, and I'm hoping that you'll like our content this year. Welcome to all of you listening live streaming on LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch, and also BBS Radio TV. So, how was your Christmas? I hope you all enjoyed some time off. I have to say, from my perspective, that it was a little quieter, different Christmas. We have one child and his partner, when I say child, one young adult and his partner in New Zealand, unable to get to us in Australia. And our daughter was busy occupied elsewhere. Now, today, I want to tell you a little bit about our amazing guest, Anil Gupta, or the Love Doctor. Anil knows what it's like to struggle and face significant adversity. It sucks the joy right out of your relationships and your life. And Anil has gone on to speak to in 18 countries, 4 continents, and in 8 languages to audiences of over 10,000 people. He is a TEDx, Fox News, and Harvard speaker, and he's developed an amazing little formula called the Happiness Formula, and he has a happiness test on his site, meetanil.com. Anil's also written an international bestseller called Immediate Happiness. And then he helps people get clarity and fulfillment in their life and relationships and has powerful systems that he's developed that help people do this. Anil is an expert on relationships and happiness and has performed his relationship and mindset workshops in over 18 countries across the world. He runs a perfect partner program, and just of note, he has 2 days coming up of mindset training and teaching and real-life role play in his next retreat, which starts soon. In fact, it starts on Saturday the 9th and Sunday the 10th in the US. And if you'd like to jump on Anil's website, meetanil.com, you'll find all about the retreat there. So good evening again, Anil. Thank you so much for coming on our second show.
It's been such a long time. I forgot about the last one. How long ago was it? 3 hours.
So people, we talked together this morning on my first show, and so Anil has been so gracious to come again and talk to me on my second show for today on BBS Radio. And so I just want to just remind people that we will talk about some difficult subjects and concepts today. So I want you to know that if these trigger some reaction in you, please seek help. Please talk to someone. But it's important that we have these conversations. It's important to understand how you can recover from trauma and traumatic experiences in your life. And so without any further ado, I'm going to talk to Anil first up about a time in his life when he contemplated suicide. And we talked this morning about this, and Anil did a lovely little conversation about what was going on in his head at that time. And I'd really like you to talk our listeners through that time with your trademark humorous perspective, Anil.
And so it was November 2008. I was in Miami. I got invited to a very special event hosted by Tony Robbins, and at that event, I was, you know, in a very terrible mental state, and I kept approaching Sage, his wife, and saying, "Look, I need help. I need help. I need help." And she kept on saying to me, "All will be well. Don't worry. Everything's going to be fine." And that didn't help. Then I spoke to her brother. That didn't help. Then she said, "Look, put your hand up, and Tony will speak to you." I said, "I'm not putting my hand up. I'm too embarrassed." Said, "Well, you know, it's your choice." So I sort of, even before I could get my hand up, Tony called on me. I thought, "Oh no, this is going to be terrible."
But he did
intervention, and I thought, you know what, it's time to let my wife know. So I went upstairs, was going to tell my wife, and then she looked at me and she had a smile on her face. I thought, "What's going on here?" I said, "Honey, look, something really bad has happened. I've lost everything on the stock market, real estate. We've lost the house, the cars, everything. And she looked at me and smiled and said, "Oh, I thought it was something serious." I said, "What are you talking about? This is serious." She said, "Honey, I knew something was wrong. You were behaving strangely, but I thought you were dying. I thought you had cancer. I don't care about the money." And that to me was a revelation. I thought that
Yes.
she wants she, and I said, "Isn't that what you wanted?" She said, "No, I've never asked you for money." This is a lesson to all of us. We have kids, we have spouses, we have relationships. Ask them what they really want. Christopher Reeve, Superman, paraplegic,
Yes.
asked, "What would you like to do above all else?" Do you know what he said? "Hug my son.
Be happy.
Hug my son."
Oh.
It's the small things that are the big things.
Yeah.
This is
And
so.
so was that the trigger for you that your wife going, it's not about the money? Was that something that helped you start that journey back to happiness?
It was because I stopped beating myself up. I stopped being ashamed. I stopped being frustrated. I stopped feeling angry. I thought, "Oh, okay."
Yeah.
And then she said, "You still have me. You still have the kids. You haven't lost everything." And that changed my focus.
Yes.
And what you focus on is what you get. If you focus on what you've lost, it's going to be a horrible experience for you. But stay towards, focus towards what you have left. Now, everybody, look at your hands. When was the last time you thanked them?
Gosh, I don't think I've ever thanked my hands. And they do so much, don't they?
What have they done for you?
They help you hold your babies. They help you write, type. They help you eat, drink. They help you express yourself. Lots of things.
Everything. What would you give to get them back if they were taken away from you?
You give everything, wouldn't you?
So these are the riches: your eyes, your teeth, your health, your heart, your liver, your kidneys. What you focus on is what
You
you get.
can't. Yes. So going back to that time when you started doing some work with Tony Robbins, besides from that understanding that it was no longer about the money, what were some of the key things that you started to do that started to see healing happening?
Well, the first thing I started to do, and I urge all of your listeners to do this today, is to give in the moment and minute
Yes.
and precise moment you give, all the pain and suffering will disappear as long as you give authentically. But today, I would ask your audience to go perform 5 to 10 acts of kindness. And notice how you feel. I promise you, if it's an authentic act of kindness, meaning you don't want anything in return, it's just a genuine kindness, I promise you'll feel better and it becomes addictive. As human beings, we do everything for one reason only, and it's for the feeling it gives us. And it's a beautiful thing.
We talked about this morning, Anil. I like to practice the giving of gifts, and I often just do the simple buying someone a coffee who's in the line behind me. But there's lots of little things that you can do that help you explore that feeling of giving. So that might mean visiting an old people's home. That might mean giving food, going and helping out at a charity. What sort of gifts do you like to give, Anil?
I like to give the gift of making people laugh.
Yeah.
Yep.
I have to say, listeners, Anil made me laugh this morning, and then we got onto the whole subject of why laughter in your life is so important. It does wonderful things for your mind and your biochemistry even, and it should be an essential part of what we do every day. And Neil, you were telling me this morning about the number of times that children laugh versus the number of times that adults laugh. What were those statistics?
Children laugh about 400 times a day, and an adult would be 10 to 12 times a day. It's a huge discrepancy.
What a contrast. What a contrast.
Yeah.
Why do adults lose their ability to laugh?
Well, it's taken away from them. You know, they yeah. have a free reign of expression until they get to school. Then they're told to be quiet, sit down, put your hand up when you want to speak. And see, the other thing that happens is this. So when imagine you're a four-year-old kid, three-year-old kid, you do something. Yes. Are your parents going to love you for it?
Yes.
You fall down, they're going to give you love. You break something, they're going to give you love. But then all of a sudden, you go to school, you come home, and you do something, and they don't give you love. They expect you to behave. They expect you to be an adult. And then it's a big shock. So then the child thinks, oh, I have to perform to make them love me. So that's when the hamster wheel starts.
Yeah.
I can't have fun.
So,
be serious.
Yeah. Yeah. So we as parents should be teaching our children to make laughter a lifelong practice.
Well, we have to start ourselves first.
Yeah.
You can tell your children, hey, you should be more disciplined. But if you're not disciplined, you should exercise. But if you don't exercise, so you have to walk.
Lead by example.
Yeah, always, because then you're not misaligned, and then the children have faith in you and believe in you, and they will step into that, and it's a way of being. You know, so for example, if I'm in my house and my father walks in, I will always stand up as a mark of
respect. Yes.
I wouldn't not do that. It would just be impossible for me to do that because it's the normal thing for me. So it's also about about what we're willing to take and what we're not willing to take.
Yeah, yeah. Your father's still in England, Anil?
Yes, he is, yeah. He's 89. He does yoga, fitness, breathing every single day. Amazing soul.
Isn't that amazing? And he's safe and okay despite what's happening in the UK at the moment?
He was safe until... he's safe now until we took him away from him. world is safe.
And he's 89. That's gorgeous. I wanted to talk and tell our listeners about your best-selling book, Immediate Happiness, Be Happy Now, Using Practical Steps with Immediate Proven Results. Immediate Happiness was published in 2013, and there's the book, people. You can see it on the screen now. It's available on Amazon, and it is and remains a bestseller. Anil, I love the story of how the book came to being. Can you tell our listeners how it did? It's a really wonderful little story of stepping outside your comfort zone, so to speak.
The actual book lay on my desk for 1 year. I looked at it around the same position it's in now. And I would think to myself, I want to read this. Who am I to write a book? And I had so much self-doubt. I had typographical errors, grammatical errors. Then somebody said, Neil, every day you delay publishing that book, someone is suffering.
Yes.
I thought, wow. And I realized it's not about me. It's about the difference I make. So whatever's stopping you in life out there, it's not about you, it's about the difference you make. You have a purpose, you have a mission. There is greatness inside of you, as my friend Les Brown says. What is your greatness? People will see greatness inside of you before you do. But it's time to step
up. They certainly will. I have to agree with you, Anil. Part of what I do now resulted from grasping and grappling with that whole idea of who do you think you are? And in Australia, we call it the tall poppy syndrome, and it's very prevalent and very, it governs a lot of things that Australians do because we're such an easygoing nation, and that whole idea that you would step outside your comfort zone and do something that's scary, and when you do, and when you are successful, Australians will bring you crashing back down to the ground, versus Americans who tend to love and support and champion success in a way that we don't do in Australia. So that grasping that idea that what I do is not about me, it's about helping people and stopping their suffering, because there'll be something that you or I do that reaches one person who's listening or watching a playback or is live with us that needs to hear that message. And if you deprive them of that message, they go on hurting and they go on unhealed and unhelped and less likely to find happiness and fulfillment in their life. So once you take it away from you and focusing on you, it becomes about how can I help people? Which again is why both of us do what we do. So, Anil, back to the book, it sat around for a while, and then the story around how you got it into publishing.
Say that last bit again.
So the book sat around for a while, and you didn't actually write as in publishing. You spoke it out, didn't you?
So I dictated the book and then had it transcribed and then edited. Sometimes, you may not be a good writer, but you may be a good speaker. And that I started with the content and then edited it. And that's something that worked for me. Some of you may want to write it out. That's fine. But you have to find a system that works for you, a simplified system. And this way, basically, a book is just a business card. But in this case, the book is a manual. See, we were never given a manual on human behavior. This book is a manual on
No.
behavior. Why we do what we do, why we sabotage, why we react, why we get upset, how to break down an upset. All of these things are so powerful.
And it talks also about the formula that you discovered, and you write and talk about this extensively nowadays, and it's called the happiness formula. For our listeners, Anil, what is the happiness formula?
The formula is this: H equals G cubed. The first G is you have to be grateful for what you have, which we've already spoken about. The second G, you have to give your time, your energy, your love, your commitment, your joy, your gift, your money. And the third G is you have to grow emotionally, physically, spiritually, mentally. Now, whenever you're upset, whenever life is not as good as you want it to be, one of those three G's is below the rest. All you have to do is work. Lowest G, everything rises. Work on the lowest G, everything rises. And it's constantly.
And in terms of growth, you can continue to grow your whole life. There's always something that you can learn and master or do better or continue to have that awareness around how you can be a better human. And Anil and I spoke about the fact that there's always conversations going on in your head. And you have to be aware of what these conversations are saying to you. One of my favorite chapters in the book is around awareness. And Anil, why do you think awareness of ourself is so important for humanity?
Well, the thing is, wherever we go, we go. Awareness is the master discipline. Awareness gives you clarity. You cannot have clarity without awareness. Once you have clarity, you have the ability to focus. When you can focus, you can take action. When you take action, you get results. When you get results, you get momentum, and that gives you everything. You cannot be joyous. You cannot be happy. You cannot be fulfilled. You cannot be in love without awareness. So that's the master that honestly we were never told about. And it's scandalous.
No.
Told this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We don't, some of these things we don't find out until we're adults. And imagine if we taught little people, I'm talking, you know, 3, 4, and 5, about being aware of how they feel, aware of how they behave, aware of how they think. Imagine what we could do with humanity if all 4, 5-year-olds had that awareness.
Yeah, and if they were taught meditation, skills, patience, you know, even how to sit, how to communicate, how to stand, the compounding effect of that over many years would be enormous.
Wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be a wonderful humanity if meditation was compulsory in schools so that children from very young age learnt about how to still their brain? Because in this day and age, like when you and I were younger, we didn't have the technology that is around today. There were no iPhones. Barely even remember having a computer until I was, you know, I think it was probably my late 20s before I even got a computer. Whereas we see little ones now with iPhones and iPads, and instead of occupying their time, we actually need to teach them quiet time, don't we, Anil?
Yeah, I was recently with the Dalai Lama in India, and we visited a school for slum kids. And they are taught meditation. They are taught to line up. They are taught manners. They are taught how to breathe. They are taught yoga. They are taught music. They are told to look after their fellow students. And it's such a beautiful thing. It's not complex.
No. What's it like traveling with the Dalai Lama?
We didn't actually travel with him. We traveled to him. We had five interviews with him. Obviously, he's a spiritual being. In the conversations he had with us, maybe 90 minutes, he must have laughed at least 60 times.
Wow.
He likes having fun. Even in the face.
So even visiting those very humbling spaces where human suffering is rife, he was still able to show that beautiful, happy spirit to those children?
Yeah, and he would just laugh at the smallest of things. He would laugh at the people that were trying to kidnap him. He would laugh at the people who were trying to kill him. He'd laugh at the people who would... hurt his country. And he said, look, you know, they do whatever they like, but they ain't going to get anywhere, you know. So very playful, but with a message, meaning don't give your
heart. That's a powerful message. I really would like to be a fly on the wall when he's laughing at kidnappers trying to kidnap him. That would have been interesting, don't you think?
It would be, but you know, I can see that if he did get kidnapped, he'll win them over before they get to deliver him. He'll convert them. Yeah.
Oh my goodness! Wouldn't that make an awesome movie?
Yeah, you know, I think there's some movies around that, but absolutely.
Yeah. Do you think that positive, happy energy that surrounds the Dalai Lama also in fact protects him?
Absolutely, because he doesn't give his power away, he doesn't react, and he makes choices based on what makes him happy, what's good for the planet. And there's no ego
Yes.
there. It's not about me,
Yeah.
me. How can I serve? What's the best way I can help the community, the world, basically? He's world-centric.
Yes. 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 Was it a when you've been in the presence of someone that has that beautiful, happy, spiritual energy, are you able to take some of that with you when you go back to your life and you're one of the happiest, most beautiful people I know, but do you still take some of that energy back into your life, or do you take it back as learnings?
You take all of it back.
Oh.
Because it's yours to take and it's his to give. So basically, imagine
Okay.
one candle, okay? And you lit 10
Yeah.
more candles. Do they take some of the flame or all of the flame?
All of the flame.
There you go. I can make that up. That's so beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really cool. So, in talking about your life and what you do now, it's very different from what your life was like back in 2008. And because this is a business show, I just wanted to know how those changes have impacted on your life in business.
Well, it was huge because I started doing one
Yeah.
thing here, but I also became so amazing that I could not be ignored. So I kept on saying yes to everybody, helping people, but being incredibly amazing. Then people would approach me, and I changed
Yes.
the currency. I stopped using the US dollar as my currency and became a billionaire. And the currency I started to use was the currency of love, camaraderie, friendship, kindness, joy, perseverance, discipline,
Yes.
generosity, kindness, gentleness. And
Yes.
if you change your currency, ladies and gentlemen, you too can be billionaires.
Absolutely. And from that space, you've been able to work with some amazing people. One of those is Sir Richard Branson, but the other one is Mike Tyson. And I found that incredibly interesting that Mike Tyson would engage with you because he seems to be that rough, tough, very masculine energy. Is that what it was like?
So firstly, I'd like to say I haven't worked with Richard. You know, we've hung around,
You've spoken.
played chess, we've played pranks and whatever, but I've never physically worked with him. We've discussed things, but I've never worked with him.
Yes.
Mike Tyson was a very special case. I saw a greatness inside of him, and Tony, I work with people who are heart-centered. If you have a negative energy
Yes.
around you, I will not want to be near you. And I certainly will not work with you. So they had to be
Yeah.
heart-centered. But I
Yeah.
saw greatness and kindness inside of him. And a huge amount, again, this is, I think, common theme for me, a playfulness.
Yes.
Very
Yes,
playful,
yes.
very funny. And honestly, he's quite authentic and raw, vulnerable. And I
Well,
love
that's
that.
yeah. That takes a lot for it takes a lot for a man in this particularly in America to be vulnerable. And I think it's just delicious that you saw that and got to experience that in him. Yeah.
And, you know, he was given a space to be allowed to be that way.
Yes.
On Richard Branson's island, it was there's only me, his wife, together. So that
Yes.
allows him the space and the freedom to be himself. But that may or
Yeah.
may not have happened in the crowd. And that's the problem that people
I
face.
see.
They're so concerned on what other people think of them, they sometimes neglect to do the right thing. No, not in
I
my opinion,
see.
but there's a lot of peer pressure and there's a lot of concern what other people think of them.
Yeah, it reminds me of one of my favorite quotes. It's none of my business what other people think of me.
Absolutely.
And it's something that is back earlier in my journey was very hard for me to grasp because fundamentally I was a people-pleasing person and I just wanted to do what kept everyone else happy. And again, I had to learn that that's not what it's about. It's about being clear on your life purpose and what you need to do to fulfill your soul's contract, and then just doing that without fail, with consistency, and with the knowledge that not everyone is going to be your person. Not everyone's going to understand you or your message, and they don't have to. That's not what it's about, is it?
And it's about how you show up. It's about your mission, purpose, and passion. And,
Yes.
none of us are that important. Even if you're, a CEO of a company, you're not that important.
Correct.
Talk about you for a few minutes, then they'll find something else or someone else or something else happened. So,
Yeah.
we sometimes underestimate or overestimate how important we think we are.
Yeah. So your business now, Anil, is centered on that happiness and fulfillment. And so you do lots of retreats, don't you, that are predominantly focused on relationship building?
Well, everything is mindset. Everything is
Yes.
mindset. So, whether you're in a relationship or not, you're in business or not, or whatever you're up to in life, whether you're a
Yes.
charity, you're working or not working, everything is mindset. So, I work on people's mindset in the areas that they need help. So, that's like a safe mentorship, a confidential mentorship. That's what people really
Yes.
need. Very successful, but not fulfilled. There's always something in your mind, something that may have happened, something that you believe in. And once you can
Yeah.
shift that, it's like a flow of energy coming towards you.
Yes. Yes. Do you think, so 2020 was a challenging year for many people across many realms. Do you think that now is the time, as we enter 2021, that it's more important than ever to have clarity around your life and business?
So let me ask you a question. Supposing there were no years,
Yes,
when would you want to
I'd
start?
be happy with that.
When would you want to start?
Right now, I would want to start right now.
Don't wait for a year. Don't wait for a timeline. There is only the now.
Yeah.
Now. Not New Year's
Yeah.
Day. It means nothing. If you write a New Year's resolution on January the 1, it means nothing to me.
Yeah.
Write it on December the 20th, that means you're thinking ahead,
And do it.
not reacting,
Yeah.
responding, you're being proactive. So imagine that there are no dates, that there's only the now. You don't know how many days you have left. It could be 10, it could be 100, it could be
Yeah.
1,000, 10,000. But today's the only day there is. There's only the now. Focus on the now, take action now. The decisions you make today will determine your destiny.
Absolutely, which comes back to the mind and how we talk to ourselves and what we say to ourselves. I again, the we don't talk about what is happening in our mind enough. Those scripts that run through our brains that say, "I'm not good enough," "Don't do that, people will laugh." All of those things we need to be aware of and go, actually, no, that's not correct. I am awesome as I am. I am okay. I can do hard things. In our conversation this morning, we talked a bit about what was going through your mind at that terrible time in 2008. And it after the show, I was thinking about it and I thought, gosh, if we all started to write down exactly those conversations that we have in our mind, we'd start to see just how much we belt ourselves up about things that don't matter. Yeah?
Yeah. We make things small into big things. And at the end of the day, it's yes. how we show up. And as human beings, yes. we're concerned about, am I lovable? Am I smart enough? Am I good enough?
Yes.
Do I belong? Am I worthy? These yes. are the things.
And what we fail to relay to our children and then into adult is that everyone is worthy of love, happiness, and belonging. Every single human born on this planet is worthy. And if we could program that into babies' minds from birth, again, the power of understanding that you're worthy, the power of living life without shame should never be underestimated.
Absolutely. So let me give you an example. Imagine that's a $100 note.
Yes.
How much is it worth?
Nothing, it's a piece of paper.
How much is it worth if it's a $100 note?
$100. Yes, $100.
You're a failure, you're not good enough, you're not smart enough. How much is it worth?
Nothing, because you don't think that you're worthy.
How much is that $100 note worth?
Nothing.
How much is that $100 note worth?
It could be worth a whole heap if you see the potential in that $100 bill.
Okay. So what Tony's
doing, it could be,
she's overthinking it.
Ah.
Question. So if it's a $100 note and you say to it, you're a failure, is it still a $100 note?
It's still a $100 note.
It's not a trick question. It's very simple. If you tell it you're a failure, you'll never succeed, you're ugly, is it still worth $100?
Yes.
Yes. It doesn't care what you think.
Ah, it doesn't care what you think.
Now, imagine you are that $100 note and people say things to you. You're still worth
yes.
it. Now, the beautiful
yes.
thing, with this $100 note, I could give it to you and buy $100 worth of goods. You could give it to a person,
yes.
the same note, and buy another $100 worth of goods, who could use the same note to give to person C for another $100 worth of goods. So this $100 note is priceless.
Yes.
Same with
yes,
you.
Yes, it's got infinite value.
Wherever that $100 note goes, it brings value. Wherever you go, it brings value.
Oh, my God, that's wonderful. Wherever you go, you give, bring value. Wherever you go, you bring happiness. Wherever, yeah, that's amazing. So, Anil, you created this life and lifestyle and business out of mindset and happiness. And did you ever think back in 2008 that you would be living the life that you lead now?
I never ever thought I'd be mixing with celebrities, athletes, Wimbledon champions, entrepreneurs, millionaires, billionaires, royalty, heads of state. Never thought that was possible. One thing changed everything. Be so amazing that you
yes.
can't be ignored. And I promise you, just doing that one thing will get you to places that you've never imagined. It's not hard, but you just have to show up.
Yes. And that's part of changing your life and living that life of fulfillment is showing up, even when you don't feel like showing up.
Well, the thing is, what makes you show up is your commitment and your identity. So my identity is this. I'm a ninja warrior, freedom fighter that will move, touch, and inspire 1,000 million people by December 2022. So when there's things I don't want to do, I ask myself, what am I committed to? Who am I? Am I being my commitment? And that gives me the obvious answer.
Yes. And it's also, so in thinking of what you've just said, that's clarity of vision. And that's another thing that you do, isn't it, Anil, that you help people get clarity around their life?
Yeah, see, everyone needs clarity, and the only way to get clarity is through.
Yes.
So clarity is power, but do you think knowledge is power?
I used to think knowledge was power, but I'm tending to think that clarity of purpose is more powerful because you can always get knowledge, but you struggle without clarity of purpose or vision, I think.
Let me give you some clarity there. So, I know how to lose weight.
Yes.
I am clear on how to lose weight. So, I have clarity, I have
Yes.
knowledge, but it's meaningless unless I take action. I'm quite clear. If I say to my wife, I'm quite clear I love you, and then I'm quite certain I love you. I know that I
Yes.
love you, but if my
Yes.
actions don't show that, it's meaningless. So it has to come with action, and the more
Action.
bring, the better the results.
So there's a lot in there about finding that clarity and then doing steps towards
That's it.
that clarity that you've gained.
Massive action.
In business, what sort of clarity is what sort of sorry, what sort of action did you start to take that set you on this path of because before your business was based on real estate and stock market and that sort of CEO lifestyle, it's kind of different now. It's gentler, happier, more fulfilled. What's the difference between the action you took back then and the action that you take now? Is that the heart-centered connection?
Yeah, basically it is. Before I was working for the US dollar, now I choose
Yes.
what I want to do. I get up whenever I want to get up. The only time I use an alarm clock is if, one, I have a coaching client, two, I have a flight
Yes.
catch. Otherwise, I will
Yeah.
naturally wake up, and everything that I do is heart-centered. So if it doesn't bring me joy, I'm unlikely to do it. Obviously, I have to do
Yeah.
paperwork, taxes. I don't like doing that. I know that you is it the ACT? That's one of your favorite organizations, isn't it? Is it
Like paperwork much either, Anil. It's kind of tedious, isn't it?
Yeah, and it takes us away from our mission, purpose, and passion. It takes us away from our identity, and it takes us away from our
Yes.
powers. And it's something that we should just delegate.
Yes, absolutely. Another question I wanted to ask you, we've been talking a lot about your beautiful wife. How involved in your work and your retreats is she?
Well, she's obviously the backbone of everything. She gives me love, she gives me respect, she looks after me, and she's a great support. And without her, none of this would be possible. So it's, people say the relationships are 50-50. They're not. They're 100-100.
Yes. Yes, most definitely. As the
50%, no.
it is, there's something to be said about the loving support of a partner who is there and listens to when things aren't going right and encourages you and cheers you on and gets happy when you get happy. I have to say, my husband laughs at me because, as you said before, it's the little things that give me joy. And I have a confession to make. When Anil and I met over, I think maybe LinkedIn, and then we jumped on a call together. And the call was really wonderful and so enjoyable. And I jumped off the phone that day and went racing down the hall with, my hand up in the air going, and he knows when I do that I'm really, really excited. And so he's gotten to the point now when he sees me do that run down the hallway and go, woo, 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 he'll jump out of his office because he's working at home as well. He'll jump out of his office and go, "What's happened?" And I'll go, "Oh, I just spoke to da 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 da, and they're going to come on my show and talk to me." And I get really excited. So I do understand that happiness and joyousness, it then passes on to him. And he will often say that, "I never knew what joyous exuberance was until I met you. And your little whoop whoops down the hallway make my life complete." I know that that's just me being me. I'm genuinely excited about talking to amazing heart-centered people. And but it not only brings me joy, it brings him joy, and it brings an energy to our household that people notice when they visit. And so I'm sure if I went to visit Anil in his home, I would feel that love and happiness and energy. And once you start operating in that zone, it's very hard to allow something in that hurts that environment, isn't it?
It is, and people will always remember how you made them feel. So
Yeah.
I think we discussed this last time. There are two types of people:
Yes.
one that makes you happy when you enter a room, one that makes you happy when you leave a room. Ask yourself which one. And I used to be
Which one do you want to be?
the
Yeah.
bad.
I can't imagine that now that I've talked to you. It seems such a foreign idea that you were that way, but it's a great example of how people can change their lives.
And I didn't even know that was the type of person I was. I didn't even know.
Yeah.
Clueless is the word. Clueless Gupta.
Yeah. That's funny, but I don't like it as much as the love doctor. That's much more, or the happiness guru. That's so much. Doesn't that give you such a better feel?
Absolutely. Now everything is heart-centered. And did you
Yeah.
see? Can you see this?
Yes.
It's a tattoo.
Oh. When did you get that?
It's in Thailand. Yes, completely sober at 11 a.m. But
Yes.
you know what? I put my heart on my sleeve.
Yes. And it's there to remind you about what your life purpose and mission is about. Before we run out of time, Anil, I want for you to describe to our listeners what your life looks like right now. What
So,
does happiness look like for you right now?
happiness for me is playing tennis, playing cards with my
Yeah.
family, walks, cycle rides, chit-chatting, very simple
Yeah.
stuff. Very simple stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And you, I know we talked about this in the first show, but I just wanted to let listeners know, tell people where you live currently.
I live in a town called Celebration, built by Disney in the happiest place on earth, Orlando, Florida, near Disney World. Where else would I?
I just think that just made my morning to hear that you live in a town called Celebration, which is near Disney World. There's something magical about what Walt Disney created when he created Disney. I remember taking my children to Disneyland in LA when they were 10 and 8, I think. And I have to say, I, as an adult, adored it. It was just such, it's for me, the not only the joy on the children's faces and the happiness, it was a happy place. And I remember thinking, gosh, I wish you could bottle that and spread it all over the world. But you're already doing that. So Walt Disney didn't need to.
Yeah, it's just a beautiful place to be.
So, in closing, what does the future hold for Anil?
My mission is to move, touch, and inspire 1,000 million people by December 22, 22. So I'm on a mission to impact as many people as possible. I'm looking for stages where I can share my formula, my happiness score.
Yes.
And really, the formula too, so that we can make a movement, we can create massive change. And if even if I just impact
Yes.
one person, we never know who they will impact.
Absolutely. It's like thinking about a child and a child that is inspired to do something at a very young age, and they go on to do it because they listen to Anil or because they heard Anil tell them what happiness looked like, and then they went on to create whatever it is that they were meant to create. If everyone in the world approached their life in this way, we would have a different world. We would cease to have poverty. We would cease to have wars. We would cease to have racial tension, and we would all live happier, longer, fulfilled lives, wouldn't we?
Absolutely. And we all have a duty to be the best version of ourselves, show up
We
with
do.
integrity and honesty, and make an impact. Serve some other person. You never know what they're going through. They could be on the verge of suicide. We never know
Yes,
what people are going through.
yes. And as I like to say, in every instance, just be kind.
Yes.
That's my fundamental script that goes through my mind the majority of the time now, in any email response, in any conversation, in any discussion. At the end of the day, I just want to be kind. And if that means settling some of my opinions and taking a breath and taking a step back, then that's what I want to be in my life, is to just be kind. And if we combine that with happiness, again, the world would be an amazing place for my grandchildren and yours to grow up in. I'm incredibly privileged to have had you on the show, and I look forward to having you on the show as often as I can get into your schedule, because I feel so passionate about what you do and the message that you have. So, listeners, I want you to thank Dr. Love and Neil Gupta for being on Radio Tony today, and I look forward to bringing more conversations to you from Anil during the year. Just a quick mention that Anil has only a couple of spots left for his retreat this weekend, so jump on the website, meetanil.com, have a look, connect with Anil. He's happy to have conversations with anyone who's needing help or desire to know how that formula can work in their life. I encourage you to jump on and have a chat to Anil, and please help everyone spread this message of happiness and fulfillment so we can all live in a wonderful humanity going forward. Anil, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
My pleasure. Thank you, Tony. Thank you, listeners. And remember, 5 acts of kindness today. Thank
Absolutely,
you.
Listeners. You've got that. That's your homework. I'm going to check next week and ask what your 5 acts of kindness were. Thank you so much, Anil. That's it for our show this week. We've gone a little bit over. Thank you so much. Over to you now, TJ, and we will see you all back next week. Bye for now.